4.2% the current unemployment rate is. So there is quite significant spare capacity in the labour market. Now, having said that, we also note that in a global economy perspective, everyone's having an inflation problem. The US, the current inflation rate is around 5%, Europe 4%, China 7%. But what's important to note, we're probably close to the peak in the inflation story because the economy is now starting to slow quite sharply. Now, bear in mind, the blue line represents here real economic growth, and from our indicator, the red line represents a composite leading indicator that I must admit, have developed. So it has no certainty or infallibility, if I could put it that way. The Pope did not give his blessing to this model in the past week, although I tried. Now, as you can see, the red line is starting to head south. Now, the red line is a composite indicator based on building approvals, business confidence, consumer sentiment, and some of the market-based indicators, the share market, the yield curve, and the real money supply. So that slowdown is now in train. Now, let's keep it in perspective. It's looking much like the slowdown we had in 2000. It's not like the recession 1990-91 in terms of magnitude. But that slowdown should mitigate the inflation pressure and should temper the Reserve Bank from raising interest rates. The second key uncertainty that I think we now confront is the expectation that the China boom will continue for decades and will continue at the 10% type growth rates that China has recorded over the past 10 years. Now, I'm a bit of a sceptic on this, mainly because China has already displayed signs of overheating. And as we can see, that history, if we look at the first two columns here with Japan and the United States, Japan in the late 1980s, the US in the late 1990s, they showed characteristics of an overheating economy that was stretched. Growth was above trend, there was excessive credit growth, the current account was deteriorating, and we had a sharp rise in asset prices, in particular the equity market. In China's case, it doesn't fit the third criteria of a current account deterioration. But bear in mind that last year in the share market, it basically doubled. This year it's come back 50%. So we're essentially at the starting point that we were in 2007 in terms of the Chinese A share market. So from my point of view, there are signs that an economy that is overheating is now starting to slow down significantly. But history also tells us that these economies, after a rapid growth phase, do hit a few hurdles along the way. And I use as a precedent, bearing in mind that history doesn't repeat itself exactly, the episode with Japan over the last 50 years. Now, if your starting point, if you index to 100, and look at the blue line here, over the last 50 years, this is Japanese industrial production. And bear in mind, it actually outperformed China, by comparison with China being the starting point in 1987, over that period. And then it hit the first oil shock, 1973-74, the setback that we had. And then progressively, another oil shock, a downturn in the US economy, currency appreciation and the like. So that the path of development and the growth of industrial production became a lot less orderly, a lot less smooth. Here in the case of China, we've had this basically straight line progression with hardly a murmur. So the expectations that China will continue to grow plus 10% growth rates, I think, are overly optimistic. We have to realise that China will have a business cycle. And we, as a country being a major commodity exporter, and with China being our largest trading partner, we'll be vulnerable in that environment where China does go through a downturn. So that's a downside risk that we need to be aware of. The third factor that concerns me and is a major uncertainty at the moment, and bear in mind, I don't want you'd all leave here pessimistic, but remember, economics is a dismal science. The third factor is the movement in Australian house prices and what we've seen over the last year in particular with America as a comparison. Starting off back in 1993, you index the Australian Bureau of Statistics measure versus the Case-Shiller in the United States, and you can see this dramatic surge upwards in house prices. So at this current point in time, Australian house prices are three times their level in 1993. Now, America briefly exceeded us 2005-2006. It largely reflects what happened with the Sydney housing market softening. So from the Australian measure, we have a flatlining movement in house prices. But note what's happened with the American house prices over the last year, down something like 14-15%. Okay. So when we say that American house prices were irrationally exuberant, what do we say about Australian house prices in comparison? Having said that, the major concern is the level of household debt that Australians have built up over this period. If we look at the percentage of disposable income that Australian households are paying on average, you can see this acceleration. The blue line represents this, such that we're now 13% of disposable income is now in interest payments. Okay. Look at America by comparison. So what I'm saying is, from a point of view of strength, I think we have very limited strength at this point. But I must confess, the major uncertainty from an economic viewpoint in terms of forecasting is we don't know the tipping point. We don't know exactly when there is too much debt. We only know it after the event. So economists are a lagging indicator at best, if I could put it that way. So, having touched on those as the three key uncertainties and left you with a very cautious outlook on the global and world economy, let me just say that a better way of thinking about the uncertainty that we now face with these three risks is that you're now armed with a little bit of knowledge. Okay, so you now have that knowledge, you're now forewarned. And remember that Lord Keynes, in a better summation of uncertainty in dealing with it, is said that the inevitable never happens. So while I might say that this is inevitable, it may never happen. But the unexpected always does. So let's just consider this tales of the unexpected. Thank you very much. I'll pass it over.